Maseches Wochenperek Tes Mishnah Zayin until Perek Yud Mishnah Gimel. This Perek has elaborated on the law that if a carbon has become invalidated, but it ends up being put onto the Mizbeach, then as long as that carbon is generally supposed to be put onto the Mizbeach, it's a part of the carbon which is supposed to be burnt, as opposed to being eaten, for example, then even in a case where this carbon is invalid and it shouldn't be put onto the Mizbeach, it nevertheless does not need to be taken down once it was brought up to the top of the Mizbeach. This mission is going to expand that idea to other things as well as the Mizbeach. K'shem sh'amizbeach mekadesh sarah eloi, just like the Mizbeach sanctifies and gives a status of being holy to that which is fit to be brought up onto the Mizbeach, and due to that holy status it does not need to be taken down, kacha kevesh mekadesh, so too the large ramp which was led up to the top of the Mizbeach also sanctifies that which is put onto it. As soon as a part of the carbon, which is, let's say, invalid, is put onto the ramp of the Mizbeach, instead of bringing it down, one would bring it up to the top of the Mizbeach and burn it there, since it has already reached the ramp of the Mizbeach, which is considered to be somewhat part of the Mizbeach, and this is learnt from Pesukim. Adds the Mishnah, K'shem sh'amizbeach v'hakevesh menkadesh nesaro Elohen, just like the Mizbeach and the ramp of the Mizbeach sanctify that which is fit for it, that which essentially belongs there if the item which was put on there was actually valid. So theoretically, even now, this is considered its place, as it were. Kacha kelim, so too the utensils which are used in the Beis HaMikdash, mekadshim, have this power to sanctify that which is put into it. Now, the main ramification of this is that if, for example, somebody designates flour to the Beis HaMikdash to be used for certain karbonos, certain flour offerings, until it's been put into this utensil, a utensil which is designated for the use of the service in the Beis HaMikdash, that flour only has kedushas domim. That term means that it's considered to be holy in terms of its value. The item itself is not considered to be intrinsically holy. However, it's got holiness to the extent that it concerns its value. And that means that you're able to redeem it onto money, and you can transfer that holiness from the flour onto the money, since anyway the only holiness which exists in the flour is concerning the value and the worth of the flour. That's all until the stage where the flour has been put into a utensil of the Beis HaMikdash. Such a utensil, by the way, is called a kli shoreis, a utensil used as part of the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Once the flour or another substance has been put into a kli shoreis, then the flour goes from having kedushas domim, which means that it's only holy in terms of its worth and value, and now it gains kedushas haguf, which means that the flour itself, the object of the flour, is itself intrinsically holy, and from this stage onwards, one would not be able to just transfer that holiness onto money. That only works if the only part of the flour which is holy is its worth and value, so then you can just transfer that onto money. But once the flour itself is intrinsically holy, it can no longer be redeemed, and if it becomes invalid to be bought as a carbon, then it would need to be burnt. It cannot be redeemed. Now, as a result of the flour, or whatever substance is under discussion, as a result of that gaining kedushas haguf, intrinsic holiness, there are certain laws which apply to it now, which didn't apply to it until now. For example, it can't be left overnight, it can't leave the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and possibly a couple of other ramifications, but this all is as a result of it gaining kedushas haguf, gaining intrinsic holiness. The Mishnah now adds, however, this is only true if the substance which was put into the kli shoreis, into the utensil used as part of the service, is a substance which belongs there. So kalei alach and kajenes alach, utensils used for liquids would make a liquid which was put into it holy. For example, if oil or water, which are used for different services, if that was put into it, then it would become holy. Umedes hayovish, mekadesh es hayovish, measuring utensils designated for solid things, like flour, that would make only solid substances holy when they enter into that utensil. Ein klei alach mekadesh hayovish, v'lo umedes hayovish mekadesh alach. Utensils designated for liquids would not make a solid which enters into it holy. V'lo umedes hayovish mekadesh alach, nor would measuring utensils used for solids make a liquid which enters into it holy. The Gemara explains that we're actually not referring to the level of kedushas haguf over here. And in reality, even in these cases, the solid or the liquid would gain kedushas haguf. However, it would not become fit to be offered as a carbon or for whatever it needs to be as part of the service It would not yet be fit for that until it's put into the utensil which is meant to be used for that item. Continues the Mishnah, Kli HaKadosh HaNikvu, a utensil used for the service of the Beis HaMikdash, which gets a hole in it. If these utensils which have holes in are still able to perform a similar type of service as they used to be able to when they were whole, Mekadshin, they would make something which goes into it holy. They still retain that power, even though such utensils are not actually going to be used in the service. If there's a hole in it, then they wouldn't even repair it. They would get rid of it and use a new utensil. However, as long as it is fit to be used for a similar thing, a similar purpose to what it used to be used for, it does not lose its status of being a holy utensil which would sanctify that which enters into it. Vim lav, however, if the hole causes that one is not able to even perform a similar service to what it used to do, then it loses its ability to sanctify other things. Ein mekadshin, it would not sanctify something which is put into it. V'chulon, and all of the utensils which we've been talking about in this Mishnah that would sanctify something which goes into it, that is only on condition that ein mekadshin lo b'kodesh, they only have the ability to sanctify that which is put into it if it is inside the Beis HaMikdash or the Beis HaMikdash courtyard. Perek Yud Mishnah Aleph. The discussion of this perek is which parts of a service take precedence over other parts. And this Mishnah provides the first rule, and that is anything which is more frequent than something else, any carbon which is more frequently brought, take precedence over a carbon which is less frequently brought. And the Mishnah cites a couple of examples, Hatamidim Kodim Lamusofin, a carbon tomid which is brought every single day, once in the morning and once in the afternoon, takes precedence over a carbon musaf, which is bought only on certain occasions. The most commonly bought carbon musaf is the carbon musaf of Shabbos, and that is only once a week as opposed to the carbon tomid, which is twice a day. Musfei Shabbos kodmin musfei Rosh Chodesh. The carbon musaf of Shabbos is brought before the carbon musaf of Rosh Chodesh, and musfei Rosh Chodesh kodmin musfei Rosh Hashanah. The carbon musaf of Rosh Chodesh takes precedence over the carbon musaf of Rosh Hashanah, such that if we have both of them to bring, we would offer up the more frequent one first. And this rule is learned from a pasuk, Shenema, as the pasuk says, regarding the korban musaf which is brought on Pesach, every day of Pesach, milavad oilas habiker, besides from the korban oila of the morning, asher le'oilas hatomid, which is a korban oila which is brought constantly, it's brought every single day, ta'as ues eile, you should perform these, you should carry out the procedure for bringing the carbon musaf of Pesach. We see that the Torah is saying, besides from the carbon tomid, which implies that that you've already bought, and now as well as having brought the carbon tomid, and the pasuk emphasizes that you've bought it already because it's constant, apart from that, you should also now bring the carbon musaf. The Torah is telling us that the reason why the carbon tomid comes first is because it is bought more frequently. And that is how we come to the rule that kol ha'todim rechaveiroi kodim eschaveiroi. Mishnah Beis. This Mishnah offers an additional rule for deciding the precedence of which korban is to bring first. Kol ha'makudosh mechaveiroi kodim eschaveiroi, anything which is more sanctified, it has a higher level of holiness than a different korban, takes precedence over that different korban. There's a discussion in the Gemara as to which rule is more significant, the rule of going according to that which is more frequent or going according to that which is more sanctified. But what is relevant to these Mishnayos is that this second rule is slightly different to the first rule of the previous Mishnah. The rule of the previous Mishnah regarding something being more frequent talks about the entire korban, whereas this rule of this Mishnah, that something which has a high level of holiness takes precedence over something with a lower level of holiness, does not apply to an entire korban that it should take precedence over another korban. Rather, we look at each service individually, for example, the throwing of the blood, and within that we decide, so the throwing of the blood of this korban is considered to be on a higher level than the throwing of the blood of a different korban. Although it could be that regarding the burning of parts of the korban on the Mizbeach, it might be considered the opposite, that the other korban is more holy than this korban. And the Mishnah will elaborate to show this idea. Dam chatos kodim l'dam oila. Throwing the blood of a korban chatos takes precedence over throwing the blood of a korban oila. If we have both of them in front of us, but they've both been slaughtered, and they are both ready to be thrown onto the Mizbeach, the blood of the korban chatos should be thrown first, because that blood causes an atonement for more severe sins, since korban chatos atones even for very severe sins, For example, any sin whose punishment is kores, being, so to speak, cut off from Hashem, if one does that on purpose, so when you do that by mistake, you would be liable to korban chatos. So you see that it atones for very severe sins, and the part of the procedure which atones is the throwing of the blood onto the Mizbeach. On the other hand, when it comes to burning the korban on the Mizbeach, a vori oila korban le'morei chatos. Burning the limbs of the korban oila takes precedence over burning parts of the korban chatos. The emurim, the parts of the korban chatos which are burnt on the Mizbeach. Because the entire korban oila is burnt on the fire of the Mizbeach. So regarding that part of the procedure, it's considered to be on a higher level. Chatos gedemus la'osham, a korban chatos for all parts of the service, takes precedence over all parts of the service of the korban osham. Because the blood of the korban chatos is put, it is applied on all four horns at the top of the Mizbeach. It's applied on all four corners, really, at the top, individually, so four different applications. Whereas korban osham, although the blood needs to go on all four sides, it's only thrown on the Mizbeach twice, on two opposite corners, and as well as that, v'al ha'yisoid, the blood of korban chatos needs to be, that which is remaining after it's been applied to all four corners, needs to be poured onto the base of the Mizbeach, the part of the Mizbeach at the bottom, which protruded outwards slightly. And the Gemara notes that even regarding a korban osham, this is the case. That the remainder of the blood needs to be thrown onto the base of the Mizbeach. So what does the Mishnah mean? That this is a reason why the korban chatos is better than a korban osham? And the Gemara answers that it is stated explicitly in the Torah, only regarding a korban chatos, that there's a requirement to pour the rest of the blood onto the base, onto the yesod. So although the law is that it needs to be done for a korban osham as well, it is only stated explicitly in the Torah regarding a korban chatos, and therefore that hints to the fact that it's considered to be more holy when it's done with a korban chatos. Osham koidem le toida, korban osham services precede the services of a korban toida, ul el nozir, and the services of bringing the ram of a nozir. Because a korban osham is part of the group of korbanos which have a higher level of holiness, whereas a korban toida and the ram of a nozir are kodshim kalim, they have a lower level of holiness intrinsically. Hatoidov el nozir koymin eshlomim, the services of a korban toida and the ram of a nozir take precedence over the services of bringing a korban shlomim, because the time limit for eating these two korbanos is just one day. Whereas a korban shlomim, there is a longer time to eat it, so that's an indication that a korban shlomim is more lenient, there's less holiness. And as well as that, utunim lechem, the korban toida and the ram of a nozir require bread to be brought with them. So that addition also shows the higher level of those korbanos. Shlomim korban libachar, the services of bringing a korban osham take precedence over the services involved in bringing a firstborn animal as a korban. Because the korban shlomim requires the blood to be put on all four sides of the Mizbeach. It's thrown on two opposite corners, but that way the blood ends up going on all four sides. And as well as that, there's a requirement for the person who's bringing the korban shlomim to lean on the animal before it is slaughtered. There's also a requirement to bring wine to pour on the Mizbeach together with the offering of the korban shlomim. And this is a requirement regarding many korbanos, but that does not apply to bringing a firstborn animal. Usnufa, there's also a requirement of tnufa, where they would wave parts of the korban in the air before those parts are given to koyanim. And the Mishnah says, usnufas chozav ashoik, which parts of the animal would they wave? They would wave the breast and the thigh, and then give those parts to the koyanim. Mishnah Gimel, this is a continuation of the previous Mishnah, discussing which korbanos take precedence over other korbanos due to the rule that something which has a higher level of holiness takes precedence. Habachor kodem lamaiser, the services involved in bringing a firstborn animal as a korban takes precedence over the services involved in bringing one's maiser behema, a tenth of one's animals which he has to separate and bring as a korban. Because the firstborn animal is holy from its birth, meirechem, from the womb. Whereas the Maisa Behema becomes holy when the farmer separates a tenth of his animals. And that is a reason to consider the Bechor, the firstborn animal, on a high level of holiness. As well as that, V'nechol HaKoyanim, the firstborn animal is eaten by the Koyanim only, and it cannot be eaten by anybody else. So we see that it also has a high level of holiness in terms of that. Hamaisa kodim lo ofos. Maisa behema, a tenth of one's animals, which he brings as a korban. The services involved in that take precedence over the services involved kodim lo ofos, involved in bird korbanos, meishu zevach, because it is a regular animal offering which has a regular slaughtering, a shechita, as opposed to a bird offering which is killed via melika. And since the majority of korbanos are slaughtered via shechita, that shows us that that is considered to be a holier form of a korban. And as well as that, v'yesh b'kodshi kodshim, domei ve'emurov, both the blood and the parts of the korban of the maaseh behema, which are burnt on the mizbeach, are considered to be kodshi kodshim, the group of korbanos which have a high level of holiness. And the truth is, this part of the Mishnah is very strange, because there are only two types of bird korbanos. One is a chatos bird, and one is a bird offering of a korban oila, and they are both considered kodshi kodshim. However, the Mishnah is comparing maaseh behema to a bird korban chatos, and the point of the Mishnah is that regarding a bird korban chatos, none of it is burnt on the mizbeach. So it's true that it's kodshi kodshim, but maaseh behema is kodshi kodshim, which also has not only its blood going onto the mizbeach, but also parts of the meat going onto the mizbeach. And because of that, the maaseh behema is considered to be preferable and more holy than the bird korban chatos. And the reason why maaseh behema takes precedence even over a bird korban oila is because a bird korban chatos takes precedence over a bird korban oila, as we're going to see in the next Mishnah. And therefore, something which is considered to be preferable from the korban chatos in a particular way is all the more so going to take precedence over a bird korban oila.